Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter Yoshio Shalabel, sir, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yeshua Abel Shamari, and I want to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abel now entering the sanctuary. And I would now like to introduce to you the first speaker, Naharia.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Speak with you about the greatest man on earth, the one sent, the witness Yeshua Abel Hawkins, the great white buffalo sent by Yahweh and Yeshua, the chosen branch. As it is written in Yochanan 6, verse 29, Revelation 22, verse 16, and Zechariah 6, verse 12. Zechariah 6, verse 12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh says. Behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh. The branch is building a peaceful house, as it reads in Positive Law 20. He is the one we should seek after, and when we find him, hold on to him as a dear treasure. Therefore, as obedient children, be pleasing to him, doing Yahweh's work. Willfully, he will give account of our behavior and righteous character. Yahweh and Yeshua are waiting you and me. Yeshua Hawkins will present us joyfully. So wrap yourself with humility and in unity with the greatest man on earth. We'll all enter in. I pray you make this a great Sabbath day. Now please stand and help me welcome the great priest in the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'd like to welcome you if you're one of the tens of thousands of new viewers that we have every week here at the House of Yahweh. Now today, the first three speakers this morning are going to be women, and they're senior scholars of 10 years or more sitting at the feet of the Great One Sent. They're going to be bringing some information using the Gematria. And just in case you're one of the tens of thousands of new people viewing today, I wanted to give you a little bit of history on the Gematria. You can get more on the subject with a number in Scripture or the hidden codes of the Bible. And the Creator Yahweh actually inspired the Scriptures to be written in the Hebrew language. And for this generation, Yahweh gave each letter a number and word. And I say for this generation because this hidden code of the numbers was only discovered by accident and brought to the public in this generation. Now, those of you who have been here for many years, when did this generation start? 1934, yes. And you can get more information on this if you're new at our website. The Gematria reveal hidden secrets that you can't get from just reading the Scriptures alone. And in Revelation 10, verse 7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. And we know that the Great One Sent is that seventh Moloch, and his voice is sounding. Revelation was written in 96 AY, which is after Yahshua, by Yochanan, who was in prison when he wrote this book. And after his death, the book was taken and put with the writings of the Yahweh's prophets and Yahshua's disciples and locked up and was not seen again for 1,500 years. And only then in versions such as the King James Version. The King James Version was rendered into English. That means it was changed into English. and made public in the year 1611 AY, just in time for the seventh messenger, who by prophecy in gematria is revealing the great secrets of Yahweh. The prophecies show the name of the seventh messenger and where he will do his work, right here. The gematria show his writings starting with the first two books, which were written in the 1970s, the Mark of the Beast volumes 1 and 2. The prophecies in gematria are very interesting. So listen closely, take notes, because you're going on a great learning experience today. I'd also like to recommend to you our newest Prophetic Word magazine, right here. Our overseer's been talking about the name of Jesus and its origin, and this actual Prophetic Word here breaks it down so even a child could understand. Also talks about the two witnesses in prophecy. So without any further delay, I'd like for you all to please stand as I welcome our first speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to continue on the Numbered by Yahweh, which I brought out the last time I spoke, where I did the Numbered by Yahweh in gematria, and it came out as 1074. And I went into explaining all of the numbers that Yahweh has assigned to the house of Yahweh and to our beloved overseer, Yisroel Hawkins. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to expound on these numbers. Now, I had shown a list last week of all the numbers that are associated with that number 1909, which is associated with one of the prophecies he fulfilled, which was the measure the temple. And 1989 comes from 1909 and 4724, and it means to enjoin by writing, i.e., generally to communicate by letter for any purpose to write. Now, what are the most prominent writings that we know of that Pastor has brought out other than the Book of Yahweh? We have the Prophetic Word, and we have the newsletters, and these are put out every month, so that we can continue on studying as he wants us to study. And right there it says, 1989, to communicate by letter, because these are delivered by postman if you live out of the Abilene area. It's actually mailed to your house, or you can download them off the website. Now, there's several other numbers that actually go with this prophecy. Now, we do know that he measured the temple in 1989, but before he could measure the temple, the house of Yahweh had to be established. And the house of Yahweh was established in 1983. 1983 is another number that I noticed that comes from this 1909. So again, this prophecy of being established, the house of Yahweh being established in these last days, is also encircled and enjoined by that measure the temple. Now, also with the temple, it was filed on 11-22-1993. 11-22 actually means to build, establish, construct, build, reestablish the house of Yahweh in these last days. So these numbers actually help us to study even further into these prophecies, because the way the words of Yahweh are written, it's here a little and there a little, and sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we lose track of what direction we need to go, and that's why the overseer teaches us. But then again, Yahweh says he needs us to have another form, another way of understanding what is going on with his words and with his prophecies, and that's where these numbers come in. Now, again, I had went on to speak about the fruit and first fruits, which comes from 17, which is one of his lot numbers. Okay, now, I'm going to go into some of those other dates that was associated with that 1909. Now, 1933, he was conceived in 1933. The second number that it comes from 1503, and it means to appropriate. It means to, it's a primitive, it comes from 1503, and 1503 in the Strong's, in the Greek, it means to resemble, to be like. To be like who? To be like Yahweh. The overseer is Yahweh to us. The Yahweh, he actually imitates, he actually reveals Yahweh to us every time he speaks to us. when he brings out the words, because he is inspired and he is taught by Yeshua, who is like Yahweh. So this right here, 1933, like Yahweh. 1934 comes from 2212, which means to search, to inquire, to demand, to actually crave after. Remember he would tell us that they would sit by lamplight and he would be taught by his parents, and his parents would correct when they would go to these Brush Arbor meetings, and they would actually bring their children home and correct the mistakes that those preachers had tried to instill into them. And with this teaching, with this continued teaching and teaching and enforcing and reinforcing, the overseer began to crave Yahweh's word. And as he craved Yahweh's word, he studied it more. And he realized that he needs to actually fulfill the prophecies that were spoken about him in the book of Yahweh, establish the house of Yahweh, bring forth the book of Yahweh as Yahweh intended it to be, which was in 1987, and to continue on to bring forth the fruits of his labor in this last generation. Okay, another number that is 1976. This is when he quit the police force and became a full-time servant of Yahweh through the house of Yahweh. And this comes from a base of 4496, which means to stitch upon, to fashion with the needle. And 4496 is a primitive verb by qualification, to deposit, by extension, to disperse, cast, scatter abroad, cast out, throw. And they reference Matithiah 9:36. Now, for your own studies, I would ask you to go to 9:36 and read what this scripture actually means with the understanding of these numbers, and then you can bring this to a better understanding of what Pastor is doing in this last generation. Now, in 1982 is another date, and it comes from 4639, and it means to cast a shade upon, to envelop in a haze of brilliance, to invest. And 4639 is a primitive word which means shade or shadow. The shadow of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit holy, as the overseer had brought out. The tabernacle. Of the tabernacle and its offerings, which is Hebrews 8:5. Of these is appointed by law, which is Hebrews 10:1. Now, in 1983 is another number, and it's 46. It comes from 4648, and it means to look diligently, to oversee. What do we call the pastor by? Another name? Overseer. He oversees our learning. He oversees our teachings. He oversees our growth in Yahweh. And it comes from 4648. Now, in 1989, the temple prophecy was fulfilled. And in 1996, this is another number that comes from 1909, and the second number is 4863, to collect upon the same place, to gather together. What have we been learning in the last couple feasts? A great gathering is taking place in these last days. Now, the last number I want to give you is 2005, and it comes from 55, and it's to fulfill further, completely, to execute, to terminate, to undergo, to end. To end. The overseer is going to bring forth Yahweh's prophecy that the end of sin is going to be in this last generation. Now, there's one more number, and it's 28. It's 2008. And it's from 1591, and it means, and that comes from 1593, which is evaluation, which means valuable, costly, honored, esteemed, beloved. Beloved Yisrael. And if you go to Isaiah 44:4, it says, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshua, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed. And he has appointed him in these last days. The numbers are from Yahweh. And with that, I turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. And shalom to those who are tuning in over the social media. The title of my speech is Scriptures Testify of Yisrael. Now, the Holy Scriptures is the only source of knowledge. Isaiah 34:16, it says, search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will be neglected. For it is written, Yahweh is their shepherd, they shall not want. For his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. In Yochanan 5:39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, Yahweh shows in the inspired writings his plan for mankind. Genesis 1:26. It reads, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness. They will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now what Yahweh is doing in these last days is finishing this plan. He's bringing all his elected people. He's forming a holy priesthood that's going to teach all the universe and all the world his 613 perfect laws. It is shown in the scriptures that Yisrael Hawkins is sent to establish and preach this message of the kingdom of Yahweh to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, if we go back to the very beginning, because again, throughout the entire scriptures, Yahweh shows his plan from Genesis to Revelations. And in Genesis 2:9, we have the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also. And this is a representation of what's going on right now. The house of Yahweh is the tree of life, offering life to everyone who will hear the message that's being spoken. And then we have the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil. We have 4,199 religions that are teaching this righteousness and evil. Like it says in one of the scriptures, when he says, for they have a form of holiness, but they deny the authority of it. And the authority is Yahweh. They deny Yahweh, and they teach evil like the gods. And this way is only bringing death. And this is being preached only at the house of Yahweh, that their ways are bringing nothing but killing, fighting, wars, and death. In Matithiah chapter 13, verse 15, Yeshua tells us to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits, by their teachings. Then we have, now he gives us a few tips on what to look for. So not only do they come against the name of Yeshua, but these false preachers also teach against the laws of Yahweh, that the laws of Yahweh were done away with. So they're teaching iniquity. And then the third one is that they teach that Yeshua Messiah pre-existed. We all know that Yeshua's Messiah did not pre-exist. So also these false preachers claim that they've read the Bible 40 times. And they've also dreamt that they had a dream from God saying that they were the ones to come out and preach this message. Maybe they've read it somewhere in the book in the 13th chapter of their imagination. But let's move on. Have they not read in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21? No, we'll start on 26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Yes, they are the prophets of the deceit of their own minds, who devise, plan, and scheme to cause my people to forget my name through their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, just as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, or Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, does that sound familiar? This is, and me being called out, I was taught that Lord Jesus Christ was the Savior, and this is a false god. These gods are worthless, they're false, they're liars. In verse 21, it says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken of them, yet they prophesied. Have they not read in Matthew's writings of Yeshua's teachings of the tree of evil? They can't bring forth fruits of righteousness. Have they not read in 1 Yochanan 4:3 that every spirit... Let me turn to it. And every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua Messiah started in the flesh is not of Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Amosiah 3:7 says that Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. You can trust the Holy Scriptures and you can trust Yisrael Hawkins because he is the last day's anointed witness. Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4:1, it shows you in the last days, the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations, will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. So yes, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Yes, it's not big right now, but it is growing. You can bank on that. Yahweh's going to bring this plan to a completion. The last day's witness fulfilled this prophecy of establishing the last day's work on 2/4/1983. In Isaiah 45:5, okay. I am Yahweh, go on up to verse 4. For Jacob's sake and Yisrael my chosen, I called you by your name, Jacob, and I surnamed you Yisrael, though you did not recognize that it was me. The scriptures testify of Yisrael Hawkins. In Revelations 22:16, it says, I, Yeshua, have sent my Moloch, my messenger, to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh. I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Yeshua has sent his messenger to testify to you these things in the congregation of the house of Yahweh established in the last days. So, let me show you the gematria. Oh, yeah. Scriptures testify of Yisrael. And if you notice this number right here, it's 2483. And this is when the house of Yahweh was established. And Yahweh is proving in the gematria that the house of Yahweh is established by Yisrael Hawkins. I mean, this is. I can't see how you can get any plainer than this. Not only this, but the high priest who was guiding and teaching the house of Yahweh and helping overseer, guiding and teaching overseer. High priest over 1074. 1074 is a number of Yisrael Hawkins' tag number. May your faith be strengthened. May you come to the house of Yahweh and believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is the last day's established work. May Yahweh bless your understanding. If you would all please stand.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So this is, who is that crowing rooster, as we saw last week, is the overseer's tag number. Oh, I greet you in the great name of Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified. So we saw last week that crowing rooster is the overseer. So then I asked the gematria, when shall this rooster crow? And if you'll notice, that middle number, 1962, if everyone remembers, that was the year that the overseer started on radio preaching the message of the great kingdom of Yahweh. Now, last week after services, a sister came up to me and she says, you know, in the New International Version of the Bible, in Yashub 38:36, it reads, who gives the rooster understanding? So I have a gematria for that, and what else is really interesting about that is when you look at that scripture, 38:36, last week we had over 126,000 viewers. And in that, when we added up all the numbers, It came to 9,383, but we couldn't put that in the Strong, so we reversed it because the last number on there, 549, you see that? You want to put that one up there? Yeah, did we put that one up? Yeah. Here, a rooster with understanding. We know that Yahweh has given that rooster understanding. Now, when we look at those numbers from the 1,026 viewers, we see that when you took that number 549, that last number, it meant reversal. So we reversed that number around, and we found that that number went to the theological word book of the Old Testament 1074, which we know is Pastor's other tag number. What's interesting in Yashub 3836, that goes to the theological word book of the Old Testament number 1074. So you see, Yahweh is really showing it's all about the overseer. It's all about him bringing forth the kingdom in these last days. And we also know that in that theological word book of the Old Testament, that 1074, that meant white, morally pure. And he is that way, and he's making us that way also through the teaching of his laws. Let us turn over to Matithiah chapter 26, verse 34. That's on page 755, Matithiah 26, 34. Yahshua said to him, "Truly I say to you, that this very night, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times." Let's go over to Yochanan, Mark 13:35 on page 775. Yochanan, Mark 13:35. "So therefore watch, for you do not know when the head of the house is coming, evening, midnight, cockcrow, or early morning." Now, if you'd see it on the overhead, there were four set times there that we were told to watch: evening, midnight, cockcrow, and morning. According to the Unger's Dictionary, it says evening was at sunset, midnight was between 10 and 12, and cockcrow was between 12 and 3. Then there was the morning, the dawning, which really didn't have a time because it's the dawning. So let's really, really see what's going on here. Is it just talking about a times in a night, or is it talking about the time since the beginning? Let's go over to, let's look at the prophet's writings, because that's where it really started, this evening. The evening is the numbers 3796. In the Strong's, and that means through the idea of backwardness, late in the day, in the end. And it goes to 3694, to the back of time or place, after, behind, the things which are behind. From, it goes to 3700, to gaze with wide open eyes at something remarkable, to appear, to look, show, or being seen. And it goes to 3708, means to discern clearly, to attend to, and to behold. So behind, if we look at the overhead, in the Strong's, it's number 3220. It means a sea in the west. In the west. Now remember Revelation 17:15, where we are told that waters are people. That's where we know that when we talk about sea, water, it means people. So in Genesis 1:10, let's go to Genesis 1:10, and it says there, "And Yahweh called the day land, called the dry land earth, and he gathered the waters he called seas, and Yahweh saw that it was fitting." Now, when you look up that Strong's number for seas in Genesis 1:10, it's the same word as behind, 3220, which means the west, people in the west. Now, we know that the overseer's tag number is 322 also, and that means west. And in the Greek, it means to show, to appoint to a position of service. What is shown here in that first time period in Yochanan Mark 13:35 is the prophets, it's that our forefathers knew of these end days. They knew we were going to be here. It was foretold in Yashub 19:25. If we turn over to Yashub 19:25, and I will show you that Yashub knew about that also. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day in the end upon the earth." Now, it wasn't talking about Yeshua there. He is our atonement, but we also had a Redeemer. And that word latter there comes from the number 314, meaning Western, future, last. So someone went and told them that we were going to be here in the last days. I wonder who that could have been. That is our great overseer. How that Yahweh worked that all out, I don't know, but he did it. And that first watch in the night was really the prophets. Now the second watch, the time of Yeshua, the 12 disciples, is midnight. 33:17, it means a midnight to watch, to be on guard. And we know that when the apostles asked Yeshua, you know, when is the end of this age? When is it coming? Did he answer him? Did he give him the answer? He told him, be on guard. Have you ever asked the overseer something and he gave you an answer that didn't even relate? It was getting your mind back on the scriptures? Well, that's what the great Yeshua Messiah did to his disciples too. He kept them focused on the scriptures. This is what you need to do, is be on guard. It goes to the number 3319, which means middle, missed, among, a middle one. Now, children, who is represented in that middle lampstand on our menorah? Who is that there? Yeshua Messiah. At this time, can I have that? Because we're not going to come to the rest of them. I don't have much more time to tell you any more about those time periods, but I do want you, children, to look at this. This, a lot of times we know that this is what wakes us up in the morning. This here rooster will get us out of bed, get us going, saying, hurry up, come on, the day's wasting, let's go. But really, children, every time that you hear the rooster crowing, you have to know and remember in your mind that it's really the overseer that's awakening this world and showing them the righteousness of his Yahweh's laws. So children, every time you hear the rooster crow, thank, bless, and praise Yahweh for our great overseer, Israel Abel Hawkins, Yahweh's last day's witness, who is bringing in everlasting righteousness. At this time, I'll turn the services back over to the next.
Okay, so I wanted once again to remind you to get your hands on this copy of the second Roman month 2019 prophetic word, where you're going to learn that the oil boom started in 1934. Also, the nuclear bomb was started in 1934. And our last anointed witness, the younger of the two brothers, was born in... That's only a small little tidbit of what's in this exciting magazine. So get your hands on it and remain standing as I turn it over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh. Right.
Shabbat shalom. Praise Yahweh. This time we get to hear from the great deacon, Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Let's start off by turning over to Daniel. Daniel 12. Get all my stuff arranged geometrically here. Daniel 12, 684. This is a really great search that Yahweh blessed us with today. Daniel 12. And in verse 4... it reads, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end." Of the end. We know that's the end times, where we're at now in this last generation. Many will run to and fro, and technology will be increased. Technology. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others. Now in the a Hebrew Chaldee lexicon by Parkhurst, Pastor brought this out, that that word is two brothers. Two brothers. But there stood two brothers, and let's look down to the next verse. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was on that future day, end times, was teaching, how long will this be to the end of these wonders? And then I heard the man clothed in linen, who we know is Israel Abel Hawkins, our great teacher, who on that future day, second witness, is teaching, when he held up his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and vowed by him who lives forever that it will be for a time, times and a half, when Yahweh will have accomplished pouring out his power through his holy people, all these things will be finished. So let's get into the search, the title of the search, since we know technology has been increased in these last days. And it all began in 1934 with radio, television, and then it came up to the movies, TV, again, TV. Then we had the phone service, and then we had the internet. And so with the beginning of the internet, the title of this search is Yahweh.com. So what we have is I want to show you some things that if you go to a web page called Wayback Machine Internet Archive, Wayback Machine Internet Archive, and it has an HTT box, you can type in www.yahweh.com or just yahweh.com, and it will pull up all the way to the very first time that they took a picture of it, is what they call it, of the House of Yahweh Internet. So you can go all the way back to 96 and listen to sermons, download a couple of free audio from the tapes, the old tape days, old newsletters. It's like you're going back in time and seeing history. So I wanted to show you, this is the first page. This is 1996. It's kind of hard to see, but this shows you what it is. And, of course, says, welcome to the House of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, congratulations, you have found the house that roared. Yes, we're still the site that they don't want you to find, even more so now. So that's the first page. Okay, so let's get into the search. This is a really great search. In fact, you're going to be amazed at some of the stuff that I show you here. Okay, so can we back off a touch? So our great teacher, Israel Hawkins, had brought it out that over 85,000 views had taken place, and he showed the information. So, of course, you know, I thought, let's go home and see if it's there. It was there, but it wasn't just there, over 85,000 views. And what you have is you have groups of codes here that came up. What we have is over 85,000 views, HOY, Sabbath instructions or teachings, all in that little area right there. So again, over 85,000 views, HOY, Sabbath instructions or teachings. Then over here we have 1934, because we know that the internet was conceived in the year 1934. The idea of it was started to come forth, and computers started in 1934. Right here we have wonderful, and it is a wonderful thing that Yahweh's done in these last days to make this message available to everybody on the face of the earth. Okay, now I want to show you something here. This is from a later date of the House of Yahweh webpage, again from Wayback Machine Internet Archive. And this is from, I believe it was 2005, I just pulled it up. And right here, if any of you that have been here for a long time will remember that the email address was hoy@bitstreet.com, bitstreet.com. I got that. That was our first web host, as they call it. And then, of course, right here we have Bitstreet, okay? Then it gets interesting again. Now, in 96, who I've lovingly named our priest over the web, our web priest, the great Kohan Michael, started dealing with the internet and really brought it to what it was through Yahweh's inspiration and guidance from the overseer. He started moving it, and I asked him some questions about what he remembers about the internet. And he said the thing that really amazed him and was really gave him that wow effect was the fact that the sermons were online so that all the world could start listening to Pastor. And that was the first. That was in 96. And Yahweh had inspired him to start working with the internet and get it going. And we were on the internet 3 to 4 months before the Catholic Church was. So Yahweh got a jump on them. Okay? So now we have a big code reading here. And this is really great, too. Okay? We have HOY stream. Now, they always call the internet, they call it the window to the world, right? HOY stream, window to Yahweh. Okay, it's the window for the world to go to Yahweh. So we have HOY stream, window to Yahweh. All right? Now, I wanted to point out Yahweh.com was the main read. And the one thing that was interesting about this is the hidden codes, it's called an equidistant interval. And that's the distance of letter to letter. So like if you have a yod being the first letter, and then there may be 15 letters between that before the hey, and then another 15 letters to the wa, and another 15 letters to the hey. It's always equal. It's not random. This search, Yahweh.com, came up one time, and it had a skip, or an interval, of 51,345 characters between each letter of Yahweh.com. And it was only in there once, so it covered a huge space in the text, but it was there one time. Now, continuing on, we know that the great Kohan Michael was inspired by Yahweh and guided by our overseer to start really pushing this and working with this. So, of course, Kohan Michael was in there too. So we see the great Kohan Michael's name was there also, since he's the priest. I call him the technology priest, the priest over the technology of the house of Yahweh, all the stuff that's going on. Now, when the great Kohana last week had brought it out, it says over 126,000 views last week's service. So, of course, I went home and checked. And over here we had over 85,000 views, HOY, Sabbath instructions. 126 was right there. So, over 126,000 views, HOY instructions or teachings. So that was in there also. Now, when I was sitting back here, the code program I have, you can put in the words that you would like to search for, or you can have it just look and see which words are in there. And I'm sitting back here thinking while I was listening to the great queen speak, and I'm like, now I saw the Kohana's name, but the Kohana that brought that out last week, her name was in there too. So Yahweh doesn't leave anything out for us. He always blesses us with all the information we need to continue our overcoming and to help us become righteous before Him in everything we do. So with that, if you'll all please stand, have a great Sabbath. Yahweh bless you all. I have the opportunity to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom, great saints. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Today we're going to be, the title of my speech today is, it's called, it's a continuation of where we've been going with the Jack Van Impe and the sparing of 2 billion people at the house of Yahweh. And it's called Part 5, The Cycle of Sin. Part 5, The Cycle of Sin. We're going to be talking about the Nimrod course. We're going to continue on from last week and how we're going to show how this course is actually shown. In fact, both courses that you can take You know, you can take the Peaceful Solution Certification course, or you can take the course of Nimrod. It's your choice. That choice has been there now for 6,000 years for us to partake of. But it's really our choice. Do we have that coming up? There we go. Cycle of Sin. And as you can see, Cycle of Sin, I can't see it, but it should say 666 in the gematria there on that slide. So, reminder from last week about this number 1674, how when you put in number of a man 666, you get the number 1674, which shows this formula all through it for the 666. And we'll learn later on, not today, but we'll show you how that number actually ties into Yada on the seven hills, and also how it ties into the worship of Baal. Okay, we'll see that later on, but for now we'll move on to next slide. Actually, not next slide, back up. There we go. Let's remind ourselves about this number 666. It's spoken of in Revelation 13:18. Remember, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding count the number of the beast. And remember, count the number is 1074 in gematria, which means only the overseer has that information and knowledge. In fact, he shared it with us in the Mark of the Beast in chapter 7 about gematria and about adding how each letter, you know, is assigned numerical values. Okay, you can get that in the Mark of the Beast, volume 1, chapter 7. And he showed us also in the Mark of the Beast, volume 1, Revelation 13:18, he says, it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. And he says a score equals 10, or I'm sorry, 20, so the number is 666. 666 is the number of a man, and that man or that system is Nimrod. Remember, Nimrod was not a man, but it's a system of rebellion. By identifying this number 666, we can identify the man who started this beastly system. This beast government set up by Nimrod is a beast government by the people and of the people. The beast government is not of Yahweh, but it's against Yahweh, or it's opposed to Yahweh. This beast is admired and worshipped by man, even though it has brought only war and suffering, and would eventually bring total annihilation, which also is the definition of 666, reduced to ashes, would bring total annihilation to mankind if it were not for Yahweh's elect. Okay, so remember that war and suffering it's brought. Can we go to the next slide? And there's where you get the 1674, number of a man, 666. The next slide. So let's talk more about the loop. I told you last week what the House Bill 23, they're wanting to rename Loop 2322, the Officer Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. And I showed how Rodney T. Holder is really just a code word for rod, or the rod holder of Tammuz, and I'm going to prove that to you right now again. When you have the next slide? House Bill 23, when you put it in gematria, you get two numbers that we're going to look at. You get 266, which is the number of Pope Francis, but I don't want you to think that it's just Pope Francis's number, because even though he's the 266th Pope, it's a number of the man of sin, or a system that's bringing forth sin that's been here from the beginning. Remember Genesis 3:22? And it means to wander from the law of Yahweh, to violate Yahweh's law. Of course, they have God here, but we know God, they don't even know where that word came from, so we know it's not even real. That's 266, but 2147, notice this, for House Bill 23, it means memorable. From 2142 to make a memorial. Make remembrance. Remember the memorial highway? Making memorials for the dead? 1674? To make a memorial or make remembrance, as we see in Strong's, is 1674. Remember that 666. Can I have my next slide? The next part of it says, would now rename Loop 322 the Officer Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. And you see, you get the 666, and you also get the 5181, which means a tyrant. And that's where we left off last week. A tyrant means supreme. It goes to 2962. It means supreme in authority, controller, master, God, Lord. But that's where it goes to this controller, this master. Now, that word tyrant, let's go to the next slide. Because in your book of Yahweh, in Genesis 10, it 8 says, Cush begot Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one on the earth. And it says Nimrod was a cruel oppressor and tyrant, or that Nimrod's system was cruel and oppressive. Verse 9 says, he, or it was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. And notice it says in R1, Nimrod ensnared the minds of the people with his words, misleading them to rebel against Yahweh. And then it says he was a tyrant who deceived. That word deceived has a footnote also, or a note, says deceptions come through false preachers or churches. You know, these religions, these 4,199 religions, and the 4,198 that are following that 4,199th, don't get us mixed in there. We're the 4,200th, okay? Don't get us mixed up in there. We're the only religion on the face of the earth preaching the truth. And we're not opposed to Yahweh, okay? They are. Everybody else is. Okay, I'm on the next slide. So false preachers teach deception, 1674. So the school of Tyrannus was in part for military training, and this present Nimrod course of life started in 2218 before Yahshua. And this is what was in that new prophetic word that we were told about this morning. I believe it was on page 17 or something like that. That saying right there about the 2218. So you put that in gematria, 2218 before Yahshua, military training and school. You get the number 4835, and it means oppression and violence. Remember this Nimrod? He was oppressive and he was a tyrant. Oppressive violence, and it's from 7533, and it means to crush, oppress, struggle together. Now key in on 4794, because that's what it goes to, and it means a race. It means a running, a course of life, a mode or style of running. Okay, it's a race, it's a course, a Nimrod course, it's a way of life, a path. Can we have the next slide? And I showed this last week, when you put in those definitions, oppressive, a course of life, you get 1674 double, okay? Now, and it means, 1674 means anxiety, fear, heaviness, sorrow. Remember, this system has brought nothing but war and suffering? Pastor told us in that quote. It means from 1672, and it means to be anxious, be afraid, sorry, sorrow, to fear, to dread. Can I have my next slide? That was in the Greek, actually. That was in the Hebrew, I'm sorry. When we put all those definitions and load them in the gematria calculator, heaviness, sorrow, dread, become anxious, worry, anxious care, and fear, we get 666. But we also get a number 5503, can I have my next slide, which clues us in on more about this system. Notice 5503 means to go around or about, to travel around. Sound familiar? In fact, I think if you're a Freemason, they have a code word, they say, are you a traveling man? To travel around, to go about, merchants, commercial, merchants, roving about, trade, traders, traffic. And it's 5503 in the Greek means a widow, as lacking a husband. Reminds me of Satan, you know, remember the iniquity of her trading? Okay, in Ezekiel 28. But also remember Cain, who also took the course of Nimrod. We'll get to that here in a minute. Now, it goes to 5490, that 5503 in the Greek, and it means a chasm or a wide space, a gap, gulf, or chasm. That means like a separation. Can I have my next slide? And that should remind you of Genesis 4:14, where it says, surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. Remember that gulf in Isaiah 59:1-2, sin that separates us? I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond, roving about, wandering, traveling, searching for peace in vain on the earth. For there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain. Not just on Cain, but all who follow afterward this way of Cain, this Nimrod course. Notice, fugitive and vagabond on the earth. 1674, which is 666, multiplied. The mark is on Cain's followers, 1674. That mark, the 666 and the 1674 that depicts it. All right, let's go to the next. I want to show you a scripture that actually uses this word, 4794. Now, you don't see it when you read it, but I'm going to read it to you. It's Jeremiah 23:10. Follow with me. It says, "For the land is full of adulterers, those who turn from following Yahweh to follow the gods. Because of this curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up." Now catch this. Their conduct, that word conduct is 4794. Their conduct or their course of life is evil. Remember Genesis 3:5, evil like the gods? Whose might is not right, or whose strength, power, and force is not right. It's not righteous. Their course of life is not righteous. It's evil as the gods. Notice it brings mourning, 666. It's not right, 666. This military path of Nimrod, 1674. The Nimrod course, war and fight, 1674. You want to be a part of the Nimrod course? Because this is the number that's tagged on anyone that partakes of it. And I know nobody here does, but y'all listening out there, I'd be running away from this tree as fast as I could. Evil, continual war and fighting, 1674. Hatred, fighting, and retaliation, 1674. This is the way of Cain, and it's not right, okay? But it's the Nimrod course. Now, I got a little surprise for you. Somebody just got up here and told you about this number a minute ago. We don't conspire here, although Yahweh does breathe into our minds this information. Can I get a zoom in on this? Can y'all see this? Okay, that's today's date. That's today's date, two witnesses, nine, and it's 3:16 in the Roman calendar. Notice the numbers. 3220, just drop the zero. You see Pastor with his pointing at the 322? And 2310. Now, we just got done reading Jeremiah 2310 and how it's the course of Nimrod. That's the course they chose. But notice this. 2310 in Eob. Oh, hold on a minute. Remember it meant west, west side, western, westward. Remember the western lamp, 1074? You remember who that represents? There he is pointing at his tag. Now there's another course you can choose that's 2310. It says, but he knows the way, there it is, the path, the course that I take. He's talking about Yahweh. And when he has finished trying me, I will come forth as gold. That's the other course. That's the course that we need to be choosing, right? The 2310? Not the Jeremiah 2310 course. It's not right. It's 666. Remember, we just saw that. All right, so let me get my bearings again. Now, you can take that course. If you're an Easter, you can take that course. If you're a Wester, you can take this other course. I'll show you what I mean in a minute. Can I have my next slide? Now, there's a sign here coming into town up 83 there, and it shows you a Treadaway Boulevard, 322 East. Think of East and Easter. 322, and it says Treadaway. When you put in Treadaway Boulevard, the way it's written right there with the BLVD, you get Pastor's birthday, and you get the 2218 when this Nimrod course began. Remember this present Nimrod course? So it shows you when it began, and it shows you when it's going to change. Right there, the 828. That's a way, a course, a tread. They're treading this way. It's a way of evil, okay? Evil as the gods. Now, 2218 in Jewish means to be exuberant in growth. It means extreme abundance, plentiful. That's what exuberant means. Extreme abundance, plentiful. Extreme or excessive in degree, size, or extent. Remember, the whole world's deceived. Church on every corner. 22:18 in the Greek means a yoke of a heavy burden that joins two people to work together as one. Well, here's the yoke. It's a bondage of sin, 666. Serving sin, 666. It's a yoke of bondage. Can I have my next slide? Okay, so in Book of Israel, chapter 37, verse 54, seventh book, it says, here in Genesis 4:17, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. The very word Enoch here, it means instructed, dedicated, initiated in religious matters. So here was another preacher, taught by his daddy, in fact, leading on the New World Order. It was spreading. Remember, exuberant, spreading? It was spreading like it's spreading today. Churches being built everywhere you look. Now, don't get this one Enoch confused with the one that served Yahweh in Genesis 5. Don't get him confused. It's a different one. Notice, instructed, dedicated, initiated, 1674. New World Order, 2218. That's when this New World Order began. Now, can you do that? Do you see the mind of Yahweh? Now, in the book of Yahweh, in Genesis 10, it tells you in 10:8 that in 22:18, there's the note, if you have the one with the numbers, Cush begot Nimrod, about 22:18 BY. And remember last year on 2:2:18, the stock market dropped 666 points. Y'all remember that? No, these aren't coincidences, you know, that Yahweh's bringing these things to our attention. Can I have my next slide? So, Treadaway Boulevard, 22:18. Now, remember, Vatican, the one that chose this way, Vatican means divining serpent. You see the gematria of that? Vatican means divining serpent, 22:18. Gone in the way of Cain, 1674. Divining for filthy money, 1674. Rebellion, the Nimrod course, 1674. Remember Yada 111? Woe to them. Woe? Well, 1929 means woe, and that's when the Vatican actually was put in back into place here in this last generation, and it means woe. And it means expressing exclamatory pain. They've gone in the way of Cain. That word in the way, in the Greek there, it means, it's 3598, and it means a road, a path, a journey, a highway, a traveled way, the way one walks, a manner of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Thinking, feeling, and deciding. Does that remind you of something? The STOP acronym that we're being taught? We need to change our way of thinking, feeling, and deciding. Okay, this is, remember, there's two courses. There's the Peaceful Solution Certification course, and there's the course of the Nimrod system. Can I have my next slide? Notice, Luke 3:22. You get 1674, but you get 2973. 2973 in the Hebrew means be foolish, become fools. To show wicked folly. Remember Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And 2973 in the Greek means what? Divining. Divining. Now who would that be? It's from 70, it says of Hebrew origin, 7081, and it means divination, witchcraft. Of the nations of Balaam. It means Balaam. Didn't we just see that in Yada 111? In the era of Balaam for reward? This is the Vatican. This is what you're following, world. If you're following these people, you're following witches. And witchcraft is the same as rebellion, Yahweh says. In 1 Samuel. This is the era of Balaam that Yada was talking about. Now, I'm going to have to stop there. I had a lot more, but, you know, time flies when you're having a righteous fun, right? All right, we'll pick up where I left off next time, Yahweh willing. If you'd all please stand, it's been a great opportunity. And at this time, I'd like to present to you a very great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Please be seated. We're going to have to move
We're going to have to move as fast as we're going to be able to walk in the kingdom today. In Genesis chapter 1, in the first three verses, it tells you something that nobody thinks about. So the very, what I'm talking about today, what might be on, if it's put on a DVD or whatever it would be, the Holocaust is still with us and began when all things began. Now in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 3, it said Yahweh created everything and then it became void and worthless. We know that's the time when Hillel became Lucifer, Satan, and about 33% of the Malachim fell with her. And they started fouling things up and teaching fighting, killing, God worship, sexual incontinence, all these kind of horrible things. But the point I'm trying to make is the people think the Holocaust began around 1934, familiar time. The point of the matter is, no, it did not. It began when everything was created. Because there was fighting going on before the human people, race, I hate to use that word, was created. And it's been going on ever since, nonstop. And the scripture says this. Now, for our first scripture to go to, turn to page 3. Page 3. Look at verse 14. Start at verse 13. And Cain said to Yahweh, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, for there will be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation." And there is when the Holocaust began. There is when, if you didn't have a certain color, you were unacceptable and needed to be exterminated, as the world calls it. But the point of the matter is, I want to show you some scriptures that were hidden. Turn now to page 5. Page 5. Talking about this Holocaust. Page 5. The prophets knew about this. They knew what it meant. They knew what it said. And in their words, in the Hebrew words, you won't get it anywhere else, it won't say that. In the Hebrew it will, but in any other way it won't. So, Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 on page 5. So Yahweh said, "I will destroy man whom I have created." Not only are they fighting among themselves, they think Yahweh's a real bum, don't they? All he wants to do is beat up on bully people and kill them all. So Yahweh said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am regretting that what they have become." Oh, yeah. Well, I really wanted to work out. We will get rid of these bums and create another one. Brilliant. But Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh. Well, at least they got that one right. Genesis 6:8, letting scripture interpret scripture, shows the person Yahweh is talking to in Genesis 6, verse 7, is Noah. Now, he was sitting there talking to somebody, and it was Noah. He was telling him, you got to build this ark and all those things. The word said that is written in Genesis 6, 7 is translated from the Hebrew word gemar. This word is listed on page 115 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, the Julius First, which shows this word means, speak to the children of Israel and say to them what follows. In other words, tell my people what is going on. The word man that is written in Genesis 6, 7 is translated from the Hebrew word Adam. This word is listed on page 8 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means man, but it is first person and masculine singular, which means it serves as a subject of a sentence or a clause. The word for that is written in Genesis 6, 7 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa. This word is listed on page 378 of a Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon to the Old Testament. But Julius First shows this word means and. The word but that is written in Genesis 6:8 is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wa.
This word is listed this time on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew Encounter Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means four. So this is what Genesis 6, verses 7 and 8 is saying. And so Yahweh said, "Speak to the children of my people and say to them, man whom I have created will destroy himself, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air from the face of the earth, and I am regretting what they have become. For Noah found regard and honor in the eyes of Yahweh." There you have the Holocaust. Yahweh talked about it. Now, on the other end of the Bible are the scriptures. Turn to Hebrews 3:11 on page 944. Hebrews 3:11 on page 944. Remember, I've heard preachers bring this up, that Yahweh said, "I will destroy man," and everything, and he got totally angry and all that. Hebrews 3:11, page 944. "So I vowed in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest." You mean they don't get to sleep anymore? You mean the Sabbath's been changed to Sunday? Sunday's the day of rest? The word "vowed" that is written in Hebrews 3:11 is translated from the Hebrew word "shabbat." This word is listed on pages 1336 and 1337 of a Hebrew Encounter Lexicon of the Old Testament with Julius First, which shows this word means to confirm by an oath, promise, oath, a sure promise. The word "wrath" that is written in Hebrews 3:11 is translated from the Hebrew word "af." This word is listed on page 354 of volume 1 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Kleinberg. It shows this word means to do or to execute judgment. The words "enter into" that are written in Hebrews 3:11 are translated from the Hebrew word "bawa." This word is listed on pages 185, 186 of a Hebrew Encounter Lexicon of the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to enter into the house of the husband, to stand before one. The word "rest" that is written in Hebrews 3:11 is translated from the Hebrew word "shabbat." This word is listed on page 1340 of a Hebrew Encounter Lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius First, which shows this word means especially of celebrating the Sabbath, to celebrate a feast. So what Hebrews 3:11 is saying is not there's going to be a Holocaust, you know, and I'm going to be the one that's going to do it, saith Yahweh. It says, "So I said in my word, my judgments will surely be carried out against them. They will not enter into my house to stand before me to keep my Sabbaths and my feasts." In other words, you don't come to Yahweh's house, you're not going anywhere. Okay, let's look at this from another part of the Bible, the Scriptures. I turn to page 73. This is Exodus 33, verse 5. Page 73. This is Exodus 33, verse 5. Remember, Yahweh said, "I'm going to destroy man." In Genesis, I was angry, so I said, they're not even going to get to go to bed and have some sleep or a Sabbath. In other words, it's got to go to Sunday because I'm not going to let them have them on my day. Whatever it is, the church finds a way to make an excuse for that, don't they? But Exodus 33, verse 5 on page 73. "For Yahweh had said to Moshe, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could go through your midst in one moment and consume you." Napalm bomb, anyone? Throw that bomb, burn up a bunch of people like that. "Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, your fancy head coverings, and until I may know what to do to you." Oh, man, I don't even know what I'm going to do with these bums. It's really brilliant how they write this stuff, isn't it? The words "I could go through your midst" that are written in Exodus 33:5 are translated from the Hebrew word "ayola." This word is listed on page 1094 of a Hebrew Encounter Lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means to come into, to move forward. Holocaust, that's first, Holocaust. Remember that word, to destroy, to snatch away, which is exactly the idea of Satan. Destroy them, snatch them away, take them to concentration camps, mow them down with machine guns, nuke them, bomb them, burn them with napalm, kill, kill, kill. The words consume you that are written in Exodus 33, verse 5 is translated from the, translated from the Hebrew word kalitik. This word is listed on pages 658, 69 of a Hebrew and Celtic lexicon of the Old Testament, but shows this word means completion, to destroy, consumption, to fulfill prophecy. Now, how'd that get in there? To come in to an end, to perish, to lose strength, wasting, to cause to cease, to cause to pass away, namely death. Oh, yeah, Jerry passed away yesterday. Somebody by Jerry, and whoever it is, but it's not one of ours. Total destruction, to fill up the measure of sin. The sin has reached full measure. The word until in the clause, until I may know what to do to you, that is written in Exodus 33, verse 5, is translated from the Hebrew conjunction wall. This word is listed on page 233 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word means for and because. So this is what Exodus 33:5 is actually saying. For Yahweh had said to Moshe, he was telling them these things all through his righteous priests and teachers. Say to the children of Israel, your sins have reached full measure. You will be taken away by death, destruction, wasting disease, even a holocaust that will be brought upon you because you are a stiff-necked people, fulfilling the words that will be brought against you by my prophets. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, your fancy head coverings, for you must realize what you have done will cause. It wasn't these people were cursed by Yahweh. It was because they brought this evil upon themselves. That is the point. But if you read Genesis 1 through 4, you find out the Holocaust began from the beginning. It is still going on, and it will continue until Yahshua returns, when Yahweh finally puts an end to it once and for all. Even Roman Catholic scholars and popes know the Holocaust did not last from about 1934 to 1945, when there were so many totalitarian governments in the world. Even Pope John the 23rd, and I'm not defending this Catholic Pope, but he estimated himself, the Holocaust began in the year 10 or 1000 AD on their calendar, AY on ours, and didn't end until 1945. But Yahweh's word said it began when Yahweh created everything, and it won't end until Yahshua returns. Pastor himself was a part of the Holocaust because they planned to gun him down. I have relatives that were in it. Every one of you do too. You may not like it, but it's true. But you can pray to Yahweh for strength to bring forth the peaceful solution so that it will end once and for all. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And now if you'll please stand, I turn the services over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, one thing to keep in your mind as we go through the news, I want you to notice this article. You'll see Pompeo, Kushner, Greenblatt discuss Middle East with Jordan, or Jordan's king, and they're talking about this peace agreement this last 3.5 years. And remember Mike Pompeo, that's the U.S. Secretary of State. We're going to kind of start with him in the news, but we're also going to finish with him in the news and this bidding that he's doing for this system. But keep in mind, they're wolves in sheep clothing, so to speak. And I want you to remember, just write these scriptures down. Psalms 119, 165, King David said, "Great peace have they who love your law. Great peace have they who love your law." Well, when they tell you this law is done away with, and this is what the Okie has been showing them for many years, pastors been bringing, if they tell you the law is done away with, then they take peace from your life, or peace from the earth. And that's what Revelation 6:4 says that was granted to him who sat upon it to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and it was given to them a great sword. And Samuel warned them that if they were to turn from Yahweh and to go serve these kings, this king would take their sons to build the chariots, their daughters to cook and to be perfumers. They would take everything they had, also their money. And it's very important to watch this because you're going to see this as Revelation 9:21 says, after all of these things, they still will not repent of their murders, their drug use, this sorcery. They still will not repent of these things. And we'll show starting off in the news, there used to be a street drug and it was called Special K. It was a party drug. Now they're taking this very same drug and it's called ketamine and they're giving it to people who are depressed where they can inject it in their nose. And one doctor who really endorses this, he says, we've had people cured in a matter of hours. And of course, he's also the doctor that receives the profits from the cells. He shares in all the profits. Now, keep in mind when you see this, they're saying this drug, which was illegal on the streets, this drug will take depression away. And then the very next article, you're going to see a lady in tears. She's saying, I did everything I was told to do. I got a college degree. I got a great job. But I can't afford my medication. She's depressed because of the drugs. So how do you solve that one? You can't create a drug to solve that one. And they show how there's some drugs where an inhaler would cost $7 in one store, and the same inhaler in another store in the same state would be $393. So keep this in mind because it's about money. It's not about healing the sick. That would take teaching the law. Great peace have they who know your law or love your law. Well, they're telling people this law is done away with and they're suffering and then they make money off of them. And that's the way the system does. And then also continual tensions building between India and Pakistan. That is not lightened up. And remember, two nuclear countries that thoroughly have a dislike for each other in that fourth part of the earth. And then Italy. It's interesting to watch. Italy is being kind of courted right now by China to become part of this Belt Road Initiative, this one trading system that will accompany two-thirds of the population, and the U.S. is trying to tell Italy to stay out of it. It'll be interesting to see what takes place with that, because in the same time, China is also boosting its military spending, which does not amount to anything. The United States is over $700 billion, and China is just barely over $100 billion. So it's not meaning much as far as how much the United States spends, but you also have to keep in mind the United States has 800 military bases outside of the United States. China has one. So the cost of the military is very different also. And then President Trump reminding them all, remember what Samuel told the children of Israel, you're going to pay. Well, President Trump's telling them, if you want protection, you're going to pay. You're going to have to pay. It's not free. You're going to have to pay. And you'll hear him repeat this over and over and over. You're going to have to pay. While all this is taking place, and remember that Belt Road Initiative, and remember what we showed about the South China Sea is a very important shipping route for China. For their country to operate, they have to have those shipping routes to send their merchandise out. Well, the United States running drills again in the South China Sea, flying B-52 bombers, and they were showing these B-52 bombers carry 70,000 pounds of weapons apiece. So 70,000 pounds of weapons, and the United States is flying them there. China knows it, and China's very upset. In the same time, if you remember, the United States warned Turkey, don't buy missile systems from Russia. Turkey comes out and says, we're not your slaves. We will continue to finish our agreement we have with Russia, looking to buy these S-400 missile systems. Now, Russia also looking to influence Europe using oil. They're trying to do, instead of one pipeline, they're looking at doing two pipelines so they can supply oil, and that oil will influence people because everyone needs oil, and that's what they're looking to do. Now, with all this taking place, remember Vladimir Putin when he said, if you poke at the bear, when it growls, it's going to growl loud, and it may bite hard. Well, the United States, if you notice this last week, they're looking at putting sanctions on someone. Not just Russia, they're looking at sanctioning Vladimir Putin personally. They're looking at taking his bank accounts and doing what he does and try to put a burden on him. I don't think it's going to work out too well when they try it, but they're looking to do it. And also in Syria, watch when they show how Syria has been, parts of Syria. Damascus is still operating. It's not yet destroyed, but they show cities that have been pretty much annihilated, and they show homes. But notice they say U.S.-backed forces still fighting. Remember what President Putin said. They're mercenaries. They fight for whoever pays them. If you pay them, they'll go fight. They just want money. Well, they're fighting and they're destroying. They're saying $250 billion to rebuild Syria. And, of course, the destruction's not done in Syria, nor is, as President Trump said, nor is the troops being pulled out. No, there's still war going on. As Pastor has brought, we will see these things come to pass, and we can see it in the news. And last but not least, very important, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was at a conference this last week, and it was a conference of oil executives. So these are the people that run the big oil businesses. Watch and listen very carefully to what he tells them. He very clearly tells them they need to start doing the will and serving the interest of the American government. Remember what the goal is to have this one religion, one ruling system who all serve underneath the beast. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. You know, the things we see in headline news, they talk about like it's just come upon us, but the Okey has been showing him these things for many years. And at this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Look at this. Look at this. Come on. All right. You look it great. Now that should have woke you up right there. You may be seated. I'm just looking. I guess I should have combed my hair. That's what Mother used to tell me, too. Bill, comb your hair before you go to school. Is that okay, Mommy? I bet you the first thing she does when we wake her up, she's going to say, Bill, you didn't get on that stage like that, did you? Oh, boy. Each Sabbath in the house of Yahweh is just a great learning experience. I marvel, and of course, I've been doing this for 50 years, but the news is great. It fits right into the prophecies. Everything that Yahweh told us is going to take place. The information brought by the great Yehuda Hawkins, I really hope you remember that. It's a subject that started, as David said, back in the beginning. And, of course, it was the kingdom of God's that Satan and her God started. And they refer to that as kingdom of God now in the King James Version because they changed the name. They took the name out and replaced it with God and Lord. And so the King James Version, I'll get into in just a little bit here, but each time you read their articles, you need to know that they know, that is, the ones in leadership know, that the word God does not refer to Yahweh. And they say, well, we worship the one God. They have gods by the millions, but we worship the one God. Well, Yahweh is not a God, so you can see how confusing this is to a beginner, a beginning scholar in the Holy Scriptures. And they read the word God and they think, well, in their newsletters, their teachings, and they think they're referring to the Creator. But they're not referring to the Creator. They're referring to the ones in opposition to the Creator that Satan says, don't pay any attention to what Yahweh said, but be like the gods. Evil like the gods. And of course, it's there for you in black and white, but all the preachers avoid it. Evil like the gods,
evil. The gods are evil. And this is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of gods, that Satan started then to build and bring forth, as is shown in Isaiah 14. I'll raise my throne above Yahweh's. the kind of the theme of the whole Bible. I want to get this in your mind on March 10th, and I wouldn't say that word, but that our calendar has not been out long enough for everyone to get used to it, but we do have a sacred calendar. I know there's approximately 150,000 people watching this program right now, and we will send you a sacred calendar if all of you will just write or request one, and then follow it up by coming to the feast. The first, let us know now and we'll get ready for you. We'll wave at you when you come in. Passover Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, I'll give you the Roman calendar, and then we'll send you a sacred calendar, and you can see the difference. The sacred calendar won't have any of the gods' names in it. Every day of the week is named after a god. Every month of the year is named after a god. And then they throw their stupid. Is it stupid or cupid? I never can get that god straight. They throw them in and in between. Teach them in all the schools. And you can't teach Yahweh worship now in the schools, but you can teach God worship in the schools. Now that, and the Catholic Church had this set up before the King James Bible was actually permitted to come to America. They had the God worship set up in the schools. And they passed a law later saying you can't teach the scriptures in the school. You cannot teach the scriptures in the school, but you can go ahead teaching God worship. So this is a one-sided situation, but Yahweh said nothing is going to be restrained from them. I'm going to let them do whatever they want to do until a certain time takes place. But this Feast of Passover, Leviticus 23, Feast of Yahweh. These are the Feast of Yahweh. They're not the Feast of the gods. They dumped them. Daniel 7, 24, 25 said they came against the saints and they came against the feast days, the Sabbath days. You preachers reading this, you need to pay attention to what he said, because you're taking the place of the gods when you come against Yahweh's Sabbath days, his feast days. You're taking the part of Satan. Satan is the one that said, don't pay attention to Yahweh. She's also the one that said, you won't die. The Savior says she's a liar. John, if you have a King James Version, 2:4, says you're a liar if you say you know him and keep not his commandments. Well, see, God didn't give commandments. God said, don't keep the commandments. So that should start you on a path there to study in your King James Version and get you a book of Yahweh to go with it. That will help you more than anything. We'll print 150,000 of those right away too if you order them. We'll get them to you. Well, the Roman month 4/19, that's sunset on the 19th. Sunset on the 19th of the fourth month, 4/19/2019, starts the Sabbath, and it also starts Yahshua's memorial. That's at sunset, From evening until evening, you will celebrate my Sabbaths. No, they don't begin at sunrise. They begin at sunset. That's how you got your Easter all screwed up. and the resurrection. But that starts Yahshua's memorial at his house, where he chose to place his name in these last days, in this generation, as the Kohana brought out today. In this generation, he chose to place his name in the last days. Micaiah 4:1-3, I will establish my house, called the house of Yahweh, Psalms 23, and it will be forever. It won't end. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, 4:20, 2019, sunset on the Sabbath, start Seder. That's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The last day of the feast is the 27th. So come and be prepared to stay for the full feast for the greatest learning experience of your life. There was a little said in the news there today about the last 3.5 years and the division of Jerusalem. You need that Temple Mount booklet that shows the division, the prophesied division of that mound, and the wall. It's already in the motion, and this came from the Jerusalem Post on the March 10. The U.S. peace plan will divide Jerusalem. Saudi report. Well, that I don't know if you saw where they've gone to visit the Saudis, but everything there is a crisis right now. And they opened up the wall to the east gate, and that's a crisis. And let me read you the headlines here. King Abdullah heads to Washington amid Temple Mount crisis. Well, all of these things now are having to do right now with the peace plan and its fulfillment. The one of signed in 1993 that we told you about in a book written in 1976. We told you about a 7-year peace plan, prophesied peace plan. It didn't go into effect until 1993. Today, well, this is a grand day. and the children started it off just right. And if you look there, that shows over 100,000 already viewing. Oh, that's beautiful. There's some marvelous things that the people are writing from all over the world. They're so grateful to get the truth. Sabbath Shalom, great teaching, young sisters. Keep up the great work of Yahweh. You're beautiful up there. And you're teaching the words of Yahweh, which are forever. Genesis 11:6, it says nothing is going to be withheld from them. Now, of course, they're talking about what was shown in Genesis 1:1-4. Of course, all the world has gone the way of Cain, as Yada said, Yada 1:11. But nothing will be withheld from them until. That's Genesis 11:6. And if you'll turn over to Daniel now, this should get it in your mind what has taken place with the Holy Scriptures and why they were taken away from the people. They were rejected by the people. The people, Yahweh didn't say, no, you can't have this anymore. He said, you can't accept, you can't partake of eternal life, you can't partake of righteousness and mix it with evil. The evil will wipe it out of your mind. So you can take this evil first, and you can run with it, and nothing will be restrained from you in doing so. Well, you can do whatever you want to do, and nothing will be restrained from you until a certain time when I get ready to bring forth my work again. A certain time, and I will offer you the tree of life again. Well, in Daniel there, Daniel 7, you see the until that he's talking about in Genesis 11:6. Nothing will be restrained from them until... Well, here in Daniel 7, when Yahweh said, close this up, and the book of Yahweh up, seal it, until the time of the end. But look at chapter 7 and verse 25. He says, and he will speak great words against Yahweh. Now, if you take that name Yahweh out and put the word God there, you'll see the what they want you to think is that he's speaking against God. But God don't give the Ten Commandments. God doesn't bring forth righteousness. God brings forth evil. All the gods bring forth evil. Yahweh is not a god. Yahweh brings forth his righteousness. The gods are bringing forth their evil, and nothing being restrained from them and won't be until. And Yahweh, he says, and he will speak. This is the fourth beast here. The fourth beast that sits on seven hills in Revelation 17 in this time period. Daniel 7:25, he will speak great words against Yahweh, and that's what they have done. The prophet Jeremiah said, you've caused my people to forget my name for this word Lord. Lord, which means rabbi. They made gods out of the rabbis, out of the popes. They made gods out of the popes. They made gods out of stupid, the guy that runs around with an arrow and a bow. Saint stupid. The saints of Yahweh, he will wear out, mentally attack, to cause to fall away the saints of Yahweh, and think to change times. That's Yahweh's feast days. And other translations will tell you this, and also commentaries will tell you this also. David Yehuda does it best when he shows the Hebrew words. You change times, that's the feast days and laws, and they will be given into his hand until. They'll be given into his hand until. Nothing will be restrained from him until this time, times, and the divided time. This is the 7 years. This is a 7-year peace plan that Genesis 11:6. Nothing will be restrained from them until this time right here. This peace plan, the same generation. This is the same generation. In this generation that started in 1934, then you will see a change. He will establish his house and bring forth his message. Change times, and laws, and they will be given into his hand until the time, a time and times, and the divided time. But the judgment, see, in verse 26, shows the governments or the scepter that is shown in Genesis 49:10, the ruling scepter which Yada now holds. Yada sits on seven hills of Rome. It's called the Roman Catholic. They call themselves Coptic Catholic in Egypt. Coptic means Egyptian. So they were the Roman, they were the Egyptian God worshipers, bringing forth the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I'm setting you up for a letter in here in that the Pope was asked to read to a huge committee this week. But the judgment will sit, and they will take away his government. This is a prediction, a prophecy, to consume and to destroy it completely. As Malachi 4 said, it will leave them neither root nor branch. Then the kingdoms and the governments and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of Yahweh. Now, they call these gods, they're deified, but they call them Saint so-and-so, Saint this, Saint that. Saint Patrick is one that they'll be worshiping tomorrow all over the world. One called Saint Patrick. History of the King James Version. Now you got to remember that the prophets wrote before Yahshua. That's B-Y. Everything was written before Yahshua by Yahweh's prophets. These are the prophesied. This lays out the plan of Yahweh and shows you exactly what's going to take place. Just like nothing will be restrained from them. No, I'm not going to keep them from developing nuclear bombs for that generation that will darken the sun, that will darken the sun. That generation, we're in that generation. It started in 1934. The sun is going to be darkened in this generation. That's the prophecies written by Yahweh's prophets under inspiration, written up to the coming of Yahshua. After that, he speaks to us in the last days, as Hebrews said, Hebrews 1, in the last days, he speaks to us through his Son. In the last days, this last generation, Yahshua Messiah, who came and paid for the sins of the world. Now, of course, they took his name out, and they put a couple of God's names in its place in the King James Version. You can get all this from the King James Version, just like I showed you his name the last time I spoke, Yahshua's name, Joshua. Take the J and the O. The J was not invented until they got ready to print the King James Version. By that time, Saint Patrick was a household word. They passed a law, the first law was passed in 1962, I do believe, to stop any Bible studies from the schools. Well, that was the year, if you remember, that Yahweh gave it to his two witnesses to go on radio. We went on radio. I don't know how many remember the, I couldn't remember it before, but the radio station XCG, I don't even know if it's still in business or not, but it reached many other nations even. I don't know how they did it, but they claimed to. We were on that, and we were on one in Eastland, and all in that same year, 1962. There's a lot of things that took place in with the King James Version. First off, it was taken to in 70 AY. Orders was given to Titus, General Titus. He came with 30,000 troops to Jerusalem. He destroyed Jerusalem. These were police officers, and they came with murder to kill all who came to Jerusalem to keep Yahweh's feast. They thought they had wiped them out. They killed millions. They destroyed Jerusalem and plowed it like a field. Now, all the time that this has been developing from 70 AY, that's after Yahshua, to what we see going on there right now, was prophesied. It was prophesied before Jerusalem was destroyed. They took all the artifacts out of the temple, which included the book of Yahweh. Then they moved the temple and the artifacts to Rome. It's called the Sistine Chapel right now. And that's the one that the Pope is sitting in taking appointments. We have been there. We've seen it. We've been inside of it. The measurements are the same as Solomon's temple that was given to him. So they took all the artifacts, including the book of Yahweh. They took the writings of the apostles, the writings of the prophets, which was all kept there. The ones that was hidden, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were hidden and wasn't discovered until a few years ago. And those have the names Yahweh instead of God and Lord. I saw it for myself under glass, of course. We couldn't touch it or anything, but I would have loved to. But you could see the name Yahweh. It's as if they put it there in a way where that name Yahweh would be the first thing you'd see on that page. It's beautiful. I don't know where it is today. The Catholic Church has full control of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the last I read about it, they were going to court to solve something to make them translate the Dead Sea Scrolls, but they wasn't getting anywhere. They told the priest, the Catholic priest, to leave, but they wouldn't leave. So that shows the power that they have over the Catholic Church, right? Anyway, it was taken to Rome and locked up, just like Daniel gave the prophecy. Seal up the books until the time of the end. And then he gives the 3.5 years, the last 7-year peace treaty to us to show us what generation this is going to be. Yahshua narrowed it down some more and said the sun is going to be darkened in that generation. The bomb that will darken the sun was only invented starting in 1934. The women brought that out today, and I'm just researching what they said. The scriptures that foretold this was written many, many years ago, long before it ever took place. This should get in any fool's mind, and man, they should wake them up and say, man, I didn't know that. Wow, look at this. I mean, that's the way you should feel. All you preachers out there should be feeling this way, to learn knowledge like this. Well, Jerusalem now is being talked about in the news, and the dividing Jerusalem. If you get the Temple Mount booklet, you'll see that. The history of the King James Version. John Thompson in 1798. That's almost 1800. I was born in 1934. The prophecy said seal it up until this time. Now, if you remember, that book had to be translated. All of this is written in Hebrew. So it had to be translated, put in book form. It had to be gotten to a certain group in these last days that the queens brought out today. that it had to be preached in this time period, Yeshua was going to take that and command his two witnesses to teach it. And there would be congregations at that time of the house of Yahweh in that generation. It wasn't before. There's wiped out. The killings went on for years, years and years. The popes had their say. Nothing was held back from them. They themselves almost completely wiped themselves out. They had a deadly wound by sword, which brought forth a plague that killed almost all the cardinals. They were powerless to stop the Book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34:16, that's what it's called, Book of Yahweh. King James Version translated it Book of the Lord. The Lord didn't write any book. Bring me a book written by the Lord. He didn't write any. They keep it confusion, total confusion. Where did Rome come from? Oh, it came from a couple of God boys. A couple of God boys that got cast down from heaven. That's what mythology says. When did it start? Nobody knows. It's all a mystery. Why is it called Mystery Babylon? I don't know. Where is the temple today? They tell me that it's in Rome. And the Pope said, well, if you can find it, well, let me know, and I'll sure check into it. It's called Mystery Babylon the Great. Why would they call it mystery? Why would the word Vatican mean divining serpent? The diviners are shown throughout the Holy Scriptures. Put together, it's called the Kingdom of God or Kingdom of the Gods, which started, as Yehuda brought out, and so did the queens bring out today. It started in the beginning. Don't pay any attention to Yahweh. Follow these gods. And we'll build our kingdom above the stars of heaven. Well, John Thompson in 1798, that was 145 years to the generation that started in 1934. Just 145 years. Now this book of Yahweh was taken, the inspiration of Yahweh's prophets. The way you know that these books are real and 100% accurate is their prophecies. The prophecies tell you the future, and they tell you in advance of before it takes place. Just like the nuclear bomb will be invented in that generation, and it will darken the sun. Was it invented, or are they lying to us about it? Are they just fooling us to say when they say the bomb has been invented? Come on, preachers, wake up just a little. The bomb was invented, and it started in 1934. I was born in 1934, as the woman told you this morning. The computer, the knowledge increase, was in 1934. But the King James Bible that I was raised on, I had to learn it first. That was all that was put out. That came to produced the first King James Version Bible to be hot pressed in America. That was the first one. The presses back then were something, you know, I mean, they were slow as 7 year itch. I worked on one in college and learned how to run the thing. It was big as a freight train engine, took up all the room. We had to walk around on a platform around this thing to set the lead letters that was melted by lead and line them up in print, and it would print about 16 pages at a time. So you had to have these pages perfectly lined where you could take them out and cut them and there'd be a page that would fold to put that magazine together. But it'd print a 16-page magazine at one time once you got all these in there. It was in Abilene, after I'd written the book The Mark of the Beast, when the computers, brethren, started coming out. The great knowledge increased, and it started increasing. The first computers that we went and looked at, because I knew we was going to have to go that route, we went and looked at them, and it's about an hour and a half or two-hour show that the people were showing us the church programs for this computer. It sold for $23,000. Needless to say, we didn't buy very many. We waited till Japan started producing them, and then we bought them. I think we bought about five or six. We had quite a few women there in the office that's still here, by the way, and some of them taught today. Now remember that date, 1798. General Supplies, the first of which, this is the King James Version, in 1829. This is 1829, just a little bit over 100 years before the one that would be born would have to start teaching it. Now, this was just getting printed and distribution. This 1829 aimed at getting a copy of the King James Bible into every household in the U.S. It failed, of course. This was in 1829. It failed. But the number of King James Bibles distributed was phenomenal and estimated about 500,000. 500,000 copies. The ABS was among the first publishers in the country to embrace stereotype printing and steam presses by 1860. This was run off of steam, like the steam engine of the train. It pulls the train. This was in 1860, a little less than 100 years. A little less than 100 years before we had to start teaching this, but teaching it properly, bringing forth Yahweh's secrets. In 1872, it was not until 1872, a state, in this case Ohio, banned mandatory Bible reading in public schools, and the U.S. Supreme Court, I said 62 a while ago, but it was 72. The U.S. Supreme Court, and you see the Supreme Court's behind this thing, trying to block it. Get this, the Supreme Court only banned the practice nationally in 1962. It banned it nationally, the Supreme Court. That was the year that Jacob and I were given the commission to go on radio. Yes, Mother, I had my hair combed. Tomorrow, I got to cover this and then I'll quit. Tomorrow now, March 17, I wouldn't even say it, but I want the world to know it. St. Patrick. St. Patrick's Day. The Reed article. St. Patrick, saint. Well, you know, St. Patrick was not a saint. Saints shown to you in Scripture, in Revelations, are those who keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yahshua Messiah. I made you a couple of copies that you can, I blew them up 200 times. Still looks pretty small. But if you'll look at the underline, that's an Amplified Bible. That's a King James Bible. Both of them say, I'll read you the King James Bible. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh, not God. God didn't make any commandments. He just said, tells you to do whatever you want to do. Just like the gods that are so evil. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the testimony of Yahshua. Now, the Pope writes a letter and says, back to St. Patrick again. St. Patrick of Ireland, born in Roman Britain in the 4th century, he was kidnapped. Oh boy, here we go again. Sounds like the fairy tale again. Two of them got thrown down out of heaven and one of them killed the other and so forth. Well, he got kidnapped. Born in Roman Britain in the late 4th century, he was kidnapped at the age of 16, taken to Ireland as a slave. He escaped but returned in 432 to convert the Irish to Christianity, to Catholicism. By the time of his death, on March 17th, 461, he had established monasteries, churches, and schools. He used the shamrock to explain, this was more divining, to explain the Trinity. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now we only have one God, but now we have three to worship. Trinity. That's not the King James Version now. I mean, you can't get this even out of the King James Version. It's just not there. It was immigrants, particularly to the United States, who transformed St. Patrick's Day into a largely secular holiday of revelry and celebration of things of Irish. Boston held the first St. Patrick's Day parade in 1773. That's a few years before I was born. 1773. About the time that the King James Version, now get these two dates, because this is about the time the King James Version, they were trying to get it printed. Now, they're bringing forth, they tell all this other God worship before the King James Version was printed here in America. It wasn't printed anywhere else either. You know, it all came together after the great plague that killed the cardinals that set the Book of Yahweh free. And the wearing of green, they give his age from 385 AY to 461 AY. So you see, from that time now down to this date of 1737, 1737, from the date of his death, 461, that's several hundred years. And they had this thing going and brought it to America, this God worship, worshiping St. Patrick. Now, the only reason I show you this is to show you how they get these gods worshiped. And, of course, the rabbis that became gods that they deified, and they tell you, you know, that you can worship these now. Well, they know the people won't do it. They won't remember their names. So they put them, they give them holidays. The saints' days got to be so many. They called them saints' days. They got to be so many that it's taken up too much time, work time. And they demanded that you take off work to keep this holy day or holiday. They tell you to take off work and go out and get drunk. That's the in the United States too. Now they lifted the law that barred alcohol. They'd lift that on these God days, God worshiping days. So come that day, everybody ahead of time was mentioning this name of this God and looking forward to the day when they could get drunk, yeah, and play around. That's what it was, being evil like the gods. But look at the time period that it took there, that this holiday was in motion, but it finally came to America and to all nations, by the way. I guess it's celebrated in all nations. I couldn't find one that didn't, that refused it. And they start mentioning or praying to this God way ahead of time, right now, put it on all their calendars, this day. And they do the same thing with the other pagan holidays. This Christmas, the saints' days, it got so many that they said they had to change it. So they said, let's just pick one day and we'll call it All Saints' Day. That's Halloween. Halloween is All Saints' Day. So what it means is All God's Days. Halloween has now become the top celebrated pagan God-worshipping day, even above Christmas. They go out and they trick or treat. Now, if you don't treat us, you heard Pompeo say, you need to start serving America. Serving America. We had them show it three times there. You need to start serving this American power. You need to be like the first beast, is what they were saying. You need to be make yourself like us, a part of the first beast. That's Revelations 13, 12 and 13. If you'll look at the very first verses in that chapter 13, it shows you who gives this authority. The God that gives this authority is not Yahweh. Let me turn there quickly and read it to you. Chapter 13, they worship, verse 4, no, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was similar to that of a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. The dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, gives him his seat and great authority. This is the beast that Daniel spoke of, that nothing would be restrained from him, is be given totally into his hands until this time period that Daniel named, the 7-year peace plan that Daniel named in chapter 7. The English gematria is called the Catholic Feast of St. Patrick. It gives you three numbers, 279, 1674, 995. If you add these together, they come up to the 1674. I do believe that's the Nimrod system. 1674. Let me read you this one. St. Patrick's Day in English gematria equals 1140 in the Greek. 11, the duration of 1142 means, get this now, it's the neutral duration of 1142. 1140 is the neutral duration of 1142, which means demonic, a demonic being. There are so many things that they have to mystify because they don't want to tell you that they're worshiping demons. That's what Revelations 9, 21, and 22 says. They won't repent of worshiping of demons, gods of gold and gods of silver. St. Patrick, let me read this, is supposed to make you rich. A demonic being, by extension, a deity, devil, God, 1142, from Dio, to distribute fortunes. Gods of silver, gods of gold, as Revelations 9, 21 said. A demon or supernatural spirit of bad nature, devils, or the devil. They started the world long before this saint. They call him a saint, but he's not a saint. They call Yahweh a god, but he's not a god. They don't intend to call Yahweh a god. They just took his name out and put the word God instead for deception. Revelations 12:9 said they've deceived the whole world. Now, Yahweh allowed this, and then he brought forth his house in these last days, and he said his house then is going to reveal all these secrets. That's Revelations 10, starting about verse 7, that his house would start showing these secrets that had the gods, the mystery. They call themselves Mystery Babylon. Well, Yahweh knows their secrets, and of course, he gives them to his house. His house then publishes these to the world. Now, there's going to be about 2 billion people come out of this world. I'm talking about the religions. The religions have this 4,199 different religions, but they're all worshiping G-O-D and L-A-R-D. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspelled that a little. These gods that they're worshiping, they keep it a mystery. Everything is a mystery, where they don't want you to understand that they change the Sabbath to Sunday. Now, even a fool can look at the Ten Commandments and know that the seventh day, it's not Sunday. You can look on even a Roman calendar. And that's the reason the Pope, you know, he says, one of the popes, he pronounced a death sentence to anyone who changed the calendar. Anyone who chose to show the secrets of the Roman Catholic Church and all the gods clear back to Satan and her gods that are shown in the third chapter of Genesis, they're the ones that's brought this kingdom of the gods forward. And this kingdom of the gods, they think they can destroy the earth along with mankind. They can't lay hands on him and make him do this, but they can inspire him. You think for a moment how strong this inspiration is. You can read it in the scriptures that Satan put it in the mind of Judas. She put it in the mind of Judas. How did she put it there? She did this throughout the whole scripture. And she's managed to bring this forward, Yahweh not intervening. The only thing that Yahweh has done is take care of his own house, and he inspiring his prophets to tell exactly before it ever took place. Before it ever took place, Yahweh told his prophets to write about it. Now, the great thing about this is it should show that to anyone that you can't believe Satan. She's a liar. The truth is not in her, Yeshua said. You can believe Yahweh's prophets. It says that bomb that's going to darken the sun is going to be in this generation when I tell my Moloch to testify of these things. That bomb is going to darken the sun in the generation that I tell my Moloch to tell the world about, to bring forth this message of Yahweh to all the world. And this technical knowledge that takes this message through the different programs to the end of the earth had to be invented. Knowledge increased. The knowledge would be increased. And due to that knowledge increase, I'm able to stand here and talk to China, Japan, Russia, every nation in the world. And they're all responding, brother. All of them. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.